So today I'm going to take you back to the classroom, but guess what? Everybody's going to get an A+ today because I'm going to give you all the answers. We're going to know the answers from the start. We remember 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, and like 50% of what we see and hear. But if we write it down, we remember 70% of it. I don't remember anything, so even if I write it down sometimes, so I'm in trouble, I think. So the first few letters of fellowship, F stood, does anybody remember? Focused, we're focused missionally. E, we're engaged creatively. We're made in the image of God. He's our creator. He was a creative creator. And remember, we looked around, nobody's the same in here, right? He's pretty creative with his work, and we should be too. L, we love radically, and we've never locked eyes with someone who does not matter to God. Everybody matters to God. And then the last L, we learn enthusiastically. Don't you wish you had students, Shana, every day that came in enthusiastic to learn? She doesn't have that. They're not too enthusiastic. They complain a lot. They've grown a lot. Except for her special ed class she teaches, those kids love it. I mean, they come in, they're excited to learn, they're excited to do something. She loves teaching that class because they're enthusiastic about learning that day. So, and then O, does anybody remember the O? We're organized. We're organized simply. We're simply organized as a church. And this is a message all about the church, right? The only thing God ever created, or Jesus ever created, was the church. And that's what we're talking about today. So let's move on to the W. And what does the W stand for? It stands for worship holistically. In Romans 12:1, it says, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So I should be about worship, right? Everybody worships. Everybody does worship something. Even if you're not in church, you worship something. You know, you're hooked on your team, or you're hooked on something, and you worship something. We learned that we don't come here to worship. We come worshiping here. We worship as we go. So we don't just come here to worship, we worship as we come. You know, worship's about everything. How I take care of my family, that's a form of worship. How I handle my finances, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat others, that's a form of worship to God. How are we different than others? You know, the other aspect of worship is baptism. We have this baptismal over here. And we could take the top off and fill it with water. But what is baptism? Why do we baptize people? Why do we do that? It's because God told us to. Christ commanded it. You know, it's really, that's the only thing you need to know. But really, why do we baptize people? Well, it's a symbolization of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, right? We dunk in this church. You know, Jesus, he walked 3-4 hours out of his way to be baptized by John the Baptist. So it's important to him, right? So technically, can you be a Christian without being baptized? Sure. Sure you can. It's almost like a public announcement of your commitment to Christ by being baptized. See, I wear this wedding ring right here. I've been married 31 years, almost 32 years. Holy cow. Just say that out loud once, really? No. We've been together, I don't know, 38 years, something like that. I got her when she was young and dumb. Fooled her back then. But if I don't wear my wedding ring, am I still married? Yeah. Absolutely, I'm still married. But it's a public display of my commitment to my wife. It's the same with baptism. You know, we can, you can be sprinkled or spritzed or poured on, but Jesus was dunked, so we're going to dunk you here. We're only going to hold you under 10, 15 minutes. It'll be a fine. It won't be long, but you should be baptized. You should make that decision to be baptized. Once you're old enough to make that decision of commitment to Christ yourself, we believe that you have to be able, mature enough to be able to make that decision. That's how what we believe. And once you believe that, you should be baptized. You know, it's kind of the way you demonstrate to others your commitment of faith, right? So the other thing I want to talk about today is, oh wait, we're on to S now, right? Because I did W, right? S. So what does S stand for? Share generously. We want to share our stuff generously. This church is pretty generous. It really is. For the size of church we are and for the amount of tithes and offerings we receive, it's amazing. I mean, look at Trick or Treat so others can eat. You know, we had a bunch of stuff in Pastor Tim's pickup, right? We're a pretty generous church. We need to continue that through our lives. How many of you have been around generous people? I've been around a lot of generous people. It's kind of nice to be around them, right? They're always giving. They're always doing something. They're always like putting themselves ahead of them or putting you ahead of themselves. That's pretty awesome. I've been around some people that are very wealthy that aren't very generous. You know, most of you know I'm a banker, right? So I get financials and things like that, and I see financials, and one thing that always tells my heart where their heart is, I get tax returns. I can see on their tax returns where they, you know, if they give or not. Well, this guy makes lots of money, but he doesn't share it. You know, Shana was telling me about in her class, she was teaching on budgeting, I think, or something, and the kids were not very generous in her class about giving and tithing and those things. I've taught my kids to tithe. They all tithe. If they don't, I'll check up on them. But we tithe. We've always tithed. We've always been a giver. We give. We've been generous our whole lives. Even when we didn't have money, we were generous. But I've also seen people that don't have very much money that are very generous people. They give of what they got, right? We need to be those people. Christ, this is this, right? The holiday season, the time we give and the time we do those things. You need to give of your talent, of your time, of your treasure. You need to be a generous person. That's what part of being part of this church is, being a generous person. You know, you should find something to do here. You know, my kids grown up working in this church. I do stuff in this church. My wife does stuff in this church. My kids do stuff in this church. My oldest is the not only the worship leader, but her and her husband do children's church. They've been serving since they were young, right, Chris? You know, they've been doing stuff. I'm not sure what Brian's going to do. Maybe he'll be a mower. He could be a mower out here. He can do that. It's a good mower. Now that he can drive, look out. It's funny. He's had two fender benders since he's had that pickup, and they haven't been his fault. Neither one of them. The truck was parked by itself. And the taillight got hit on one side. We fixed that taillight. And then just the other day, the other one got hit, fixed. So God must have known we needed another taillight to look the same as the other one. So no. But you need to have a generous heart. I'm generous to my kids. I want them to be generous. I want them to see us as givers. I want them to emulate us. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 11, it says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." You know, if you drop a few seeds in the ground, if you're around farming at all, you can't just throw a few seeds out there and hope for a bumper crop, right? You got to sow. You got to sow. If you sow sparingly, that's how you're going to reap, is sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. Now, I don't give to get. I don't get just to hold on to it. And if you think getting stuff, you're going to have it forever, wait till you die. You can't take it with you. It's really not yours to start with, right? Here, I got some money here. Chris, come here. So I'll have you hold on to this. You can't have it.
Okay.
So hold on to that, okay? Yeah, you can sit down. So, you know, you give it. Now, if you had your own money to give to somebody, well, I know you would give it. But it's harder to give when it's yours, right? But if I asked Kristen to give my 20 to somebody else, it's easy because it really wasn't hers to start with. That's kind of how our lives are. it really isn't ours to start with. God only asked us for 10% back and take care of the other 90% ourselves, but it's really about how we take care of things and what our heart says, how we're generous in our hearts. And I'm not saying that we give to get, we sow generously to reap generously. You reap in other ways. It takes the materialism away from your heart. Sometimes, I like nice stuff. I mean, I like nice shoes and clothes. I like those kind of things. But if you open yourself up to be a giver, it kind of takes that materialism away a little bit. It squashes it down. It's like you should look around and say, how can I help the next person I see? Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's $20. Maybe it's nothing but a handshake or a pat on the back. But look to be a giver. Be open to be a giver in every area of your life. Pray for somebody that needs prayer. Don't just get your stuff and hold on to it. That's not what God wants. He wants to give it to you so he can get it through you. He wants to get you the money so you can get it to somebody else, to help somebody else. That's the whole reason he's giving it to you. He wants you, if he can get it to you, if he can get it through you, he can get it to you. That's the whole point, is what we want to do as a giver. You know, schools are great. Hospitals are great. Nonprofits are great. But there's nothing that compares to the church. The church will last forever. And when I say church, I mean the local church. You should be part of a local church, a local body, a local body of believers. I've been part of this church since 1989, 90, somewhere in there, right? It's been a while. And I just started out just sitting out there. Actually, I came because my hot girlfriend was here. And so I came because she came. And maybe that was my motivation. I mean, I'm being honest with you. That's why I came initially. Matter of fact, the first service I went to was at the hotel because they had the water damage here. Like that whole wall. This whole facility is a rammed earth facility, except for this middle part. It's metal. It's metal because the rammed earth fell apart. So the walls are like 2 feet thick. And in the rest of the building, if you look between classrooms where we've knocked out walls, you can see how thick the walls are. They're thick. And it's a lot of work to take out a wall between two classrooms. We've done it. And I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, yeah, hotel. I was going, my first service here was it in the Holiday Inn? Yeah, Holiday Inn. It was, we were there and we had church at the Holiday Inn because our church had collapsed a little bit. But then they got it fixed. And this is, matter of fact, this room and that room used to be one room. And the stairs that are over in the children's church and this ramp were the entrances. The platform was right there in the middle. Right? Am I right? Yeah, it was all messed up. And so, yeah, those stairs weren't there. And these walls weren't there. They were just ramps coming down. There used to be a long ramp on that side, kind of like this one. And that's how you entered the church. And I remember when we put the sound booth in, used to be just kind of sitting back there, right? Yeah, that's right. It was in the corner. Yeah. Chris has been here longer. Matter of fact, some of you may not even know, this church was built as a school. Was a church and a school. Had a grade school in it called Shalom, right? And that was a long time ago. Would that have been late 70s, early 80s, right? Yep. And so that's why it looks like a school a little bit. I mean, that's why the classrooms the way they are. But that's just a side note. That doesn't mean anything, just giving you a little history there. But we want to be generous. In John 3:16, everybody knows this verse. You see it on TV, right, all the time. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us his son. So I want to emulate God in what I do and want to do that. I don't want to be selfish because, you know, if your self smells like fish, you don't want that. You won't want to be selfish. See what I did there? Selfish. Do I need to write it down? Because I will. That's what I do. But there are people that make, you know, let's say you make 50 grand a year. They're very generous people. But I've seen people that make 300 grand a year that aren't very generous people. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. So when you decide you're going to emulate God, one of the things he did was he shared his stuff. So if he can, my saying to that is, if he can get it through you, he can get it to you. So be a vessel for God. Do what he's asked you to do. We're on to letter H. H. And that means, hey, man. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. It means honor. Honor biblically. We try to honor biblically in this church. Because you're under authority wherever you go. If you leave here and you go to a restaurant, you're under the authority of the manager or the owner. You're under the authority of the waiter or waitress. You're under the authority of what's going on there. I mean, just going to dinner, you're under authority. You go to work, you have a boss. Well, you might say, I am the boss. Well, you have a boss. Everybody has a boss. I mean, sometimes it's the IRS that's the boss, right? Or the laws are the boss, right? We all are under authority. And once you understand how to be under authority and operate under authority, God will open up things for you to do. Pastor Tim, we call him pastor because that's his position. We honor him with that position by saying that. You may be at a job and your boss isn't very good, but if you learn how to honor them, God will honor that. If you learn how to operate under authority, God will give you all the authority. He'll give you what you desire. When you turn loose and it's kind of, I don't know, upside down to a certain extent. When I turn loose of, well, I'm in charge, and realize that God's in charge, that's going to lead you to what you've been called to do. It's kind of funny how that works. You want to try to make things happen on your own, but you can't really make things happen on your own. You got to let God make things happen. Trust him in what you do. Become a person under authority. We operate under authority. If I'm at work, I have a boss. I have several bosses at work. But if I go outside of that authority, I'm in trouble, right? I don't do things right. Or if I do something against the law, we get in trouble, right? We operate under authority. If you learn to operate under authority, if you're constantly rebelling against whatever authority you're under, you're not going to go very far in life. You know, my wife's a teacher. My kids are a teacher. Matter of fact, Cassidy was telling me that her ponytail got pulled out and spit on it at school. That kid is not under authority. I might have to go and show him what authority is. Sometimes the girls will say, Dad, you just need to come to my classroom for a week and we'll straighten it out. And I said, no, because I'll go to jail probably. Some parents don't teach their kids very well. Now, I understand there are issues. Kids, there are some issues in the world. We live in a fallen world. There are issues that you have to deal with. But I see so many parents just not wanting to be the authority for their kids. They want to be their friends. They don't want to be that leader the kids want that. I mean, Brian here, he's a sophomore in high school. He's a pretty good kid. He gets good grades. He doesn't cause too much trouble. We're trying to get him to lose a bunch of weight right now. He's not very happy about it. And he's working hard. He's doing the right things. But if I just let him go wild and do, he's not that kind of kid right now anyways, he isn't. But if he didn't operate under my authority, it wouldn't be a good thing for him. He'd be in trouble. He'd have issues. He might have a record at age, he's almost 16, turns 16 on December 23rd. Yeah, maybe he'll get a haircut for his birthday. Sorry, Brian, I had to say it. I had to say it, bud. I just wish I could grow hair like that. In Romans 12:10, it says, we should outdo one another in showing honor. We need to show honor to God. And once you show honor to God, come under authority on this earth and operate in those things that God's called you to do, but do it under authority. Whenever you're somewhere, you're under authority. The structures are everywhere. We're on to I. We hope we inspire you. We inspire you with these messages, with this teaching of the Bible, with this these scriptures that we bring forward to you. We hope we inspire you to live differently. You know, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let's meet together. You know, we meet together, we try to come together because I think it's important. I remember during COVID, you know, we didn't have church. We had Pastor West was the pastor then, and he would broadcast himself. I think you were here probably and a couple other people, but I'd sit home and watch it on TV, and I didn't get near as much out of it. I didn't pay attention as well. Well, mostly because I was in my recliner. But I didn't pay attention as well. Even though it's the same word that he's teaching, it's more impactful when you're here. It's more impactful when you're with each other. We encourage each other. We want to be encouragements to each other. We want to do things together. We want to seek God together. You know, I became a believer. I seek God regularly. I do those things that I'm supposed to do, but it's more impactful when we're together seeking God. It is. If you're at home and you listen to the, if you're going to be gone or something and you can't be here, it's great to have the streaming. It's awesome. But to be part of a local church is impactful, not just to you, but everyone around you. And what goes on in here impacts what goes on out there. And hopefully those things in here will impact you and you make a difference out there. So it, you know, one of the things I talked about earlier is serving. We want to serve our local church in some manner. We want to serve and not swerve. We don't want to swerve serving. We want to serve. And a lot of you do. A lot of you help us out. You look at the things that Dean and Vicky do. They do an awesome job. There's a lot of people that we count on every Sunday to do stuff here. It's amazing. But you should be a part of it somehow. Get involved. We tie our hearts together that way. We're all here to serve God, not swerve God. If you have talent, time, treasure, bring it to the local church. Everything we do is about serving God. And, think about the music that we sang today. I wish I could sing. I was on the praise and worship team at one time. They were desperate, very desperate. I can't play an instrument. Actually, that's how I met my wife. We were in pop singers together. Yeah. I had the moves back then, didn't I, hon? The kids found a picture of me and her dancing in pop singers. I had these little white, you know, corduroy OP shorts on. My daughters are like, what is going on with those shorts, Dad? I said, that was the style, man. I was looking good. I can't sing very well, but I could dance. I had some moves, not so much now, but had some moves. I got her when I was, you know, when I was built up then. And so, but I don't know where I was going with that. I got off task about, we want you to stick like Velcro. We want you to stick like Velcro and be part of this body. We want you to be in here so we can inspire, and then you can inspire and go start a fire somewhere and bring them back here and build this church up. That's what we want to do. We want to inspire you to go start a fire. You know, it's funny about rhyming. You know, I have these little catchphrases. I'm not a rapper. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'm not a rapper. I like to think I am. But back in the Hebrew and the Greek, there was a lot of rhyme and timing in their words and the way they wrote things back then. But we want to be, we want stuff to stick with you like Velcro. We don't want it to slide off you like Teflon. We want you to stick like Velcro. That's what you can go home and tell your friends. What did you guys learn about? We want to stick like Velcro. Velcro by itself, one side or the other, it doesn't work, right? You need both pieces to stick together. Because if you have one side, it's all scratchy. It hurts. The other side's fuzzy. But independently, they're no good. It's just like us. Independently, we're not as good as when we're stuck together like Velcro. When we're stuck together, we're bound together like Velcro. We can do some stuff, right? I've been part of some groups out here. We re-roofed the church at one time. I think I've painted lots of rooms in this church over time. I painted the sanctuary when it was that green color. Did you do this? Kristen did this color. But between a handful of us, we've painted every square inch of this church. But it worked so much better and went so much faster when we had help, when we were together doing something. And it was kind of fun. I know some people are like, painting's fun. No, just being together was fun, right? We were stuck together. We're stuck like Velcro. So the power, it's a powerful thing when you're together as a church and as a church body. It's a powerful thing. Sometimes we forget that. In this day and age, it's okay to sit at home because you can do everything at home. You can work at home. You can get DoorDash your food. Heck, they'll even go to Walgreens to buy stuff for you and DoorDash it to you. You can watch any number of ministers, all over the world at home. You can do your laundry and everything all at home. You never have to leave, really. If you work at home, you never have to leave. But is that good? I don't think so. I've talked to some people that have worked at home and came back to the office and those things. They go, I kind of like working in the office. Now, some people like the freedom of being at home and those kind of things. But I remember at COVID when we didn't go anywhere and do anything, I was tired of being around her. She was there all the time still. It's like, I got to get out of here and do something. But it's better if we come together, right? That knits us together. So now we're on to letter. Where are we at, Shana? P. P for pro. No, that's not right. That's just my last name. If I was smart, I would have named Brian All. Then he could have been an all pro. See what I did there? Could have been all pro. The guy, the quarterback for Ohio State, his last name is Saying, S-A-Y-I-N-G. They should have named him Just. Hang around. There's more. There's more of those coming. No, P stands for pray. Pray powerfully. Well, how do you pray powerfully? Let's take the word prayer and break it down. You first start with praise. You praise God when you start praying. Then you repent. You repent of things you've done. P-R, see where I'm going? A. What is A? Ask. We ask things of God. And then we yield to God. Sometimes I'm guilty of it too, of just saying the BLTs, bless me, love me, thank you. That's a BLT prayer. I don't like BLTs. I don't like the T in the BLT sandwich. I just like the B, the bacon. We yield to God, P-R-A-Y. We praise, we repent, we ask, and we yield. That's how you become a powerful prayer. That's what the P should be. It's really a big thing when we come together as the body of Christ. I can't live like heck out there and expect God to bless it, right? I can't do things out there that I shouldn't be doing and expect God to bless it. We've got to do the right thing. We got to do the right thing at the right time when nobody's looking, right? It's easy to do the right thing when everybody's looking. It's easy to do the right thing when you're here. But hopefully, because we're knit together, we're stuck together like Velcro. If you make a mistake out there, you can come in here and be loved on. And we pick you up, dust you off, and we love on you. That's what a family does. You know, my kids have made mistakes. Yeah, I'm upset with them. But I love on them still. There's still consequences sometimes, right? Consequences to your actions all the time. There's good consequences. There's bad consequences, depending on what's going on. But there's consequences to everything you do. And, you know, sometimes those consequences come with a little punishment. At my house, anyways. Some of you might say, God, I'm glad I didn't grow up in your house. Hey, it's a great house. Right, Bri? Yeah. Good answer, buddy. Good answer. I have to remind them sometimes that, you know, you're not getting a bunch of gifts for Christmas. You're driving your gift out there. Your insurance costs me money every month. That battery that just went out, guess who paid for that? This guy right here. Your birthday. Happy birthday. You got a battery. Just kidding. It's just part of life. Things break, right? Things break. We fix them. You break sometimes, right? I break sometimes. I broke my knee. Had to get a new one. Got a new one now. Set off metal detectors worldwide with it. But God talked about a specific church. You know, the local church of what he was talking about. Yeah, in the book of Revelation, he wrote about seven specific churches. But the New Testament has letters to the names of the churches that he wrote to those churches. God was telling us those things. He was writing to us in those letters. He was telling us what we should be doing in those letters. You know, you want to be a New Testament believer. You know, every team has a roster. Every army has an enlistment. You know, every school has a roll call or has a roster. Every work has a payroll. You know, we want you to, membership is implied. Membership has its benefits. Remember that? Membership has its privileges. That was a credit card, right? Back, what was that credit card? Membership has its privilege. Was it American Express? Yes, I'm getting a yes. Membership has privileges. Your membership in a local church has its privileges. We think this is a pretty good church. I'm biased a little bit, but we think this is a pretty good church. And you can be part of this church if you want to. You got to be willing to share the responsibility of the church. Will you pray for its growth by inviting others to attend and welcoming those who visit? You got to be willing to serve in the ministry in some capacity. I'm not saying every day you're serving the church, you're coming out here or something. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's four times a year you serve. You're a greeter. You're an usher, you're something. Maybe you clean the toilets, but you're serving the church. Are you willing to serve the church, discerning your gifts and talents, and you'll be equipped to serve, developing a servant's heart? Are you willing to do those things? Will you support the vision of this church, attending faithfully, living a godly life, and becoming a tither regularly? Attending regularly. I don't miss church that often. We do miss church once in a while, especially during baseball season when the boys play, and we'll be gone sometimes. That doesn't change my commitment to this church. Just understand, we're all going to be gone at some point. You know, we're going to miss church. But are you faithfully attending regularly? I didn't say every Sunday, but regularly. Are you willing to do those things? And if you are, you can be a member. It's not, you know, we're not going to like tattoo you or nothing. It's not anything weird like that. But we want our hearts together. We want to be stuck together like Velcro. Sometimes Velcro can be pretty tough, right? To get apart. It sticks together pretty good. I don't even know how they invented Velcro. How did they even invent that? Who came up with Velcro? Mr. Vel and his brother Crow? I don't know. I'm just grasping here, Shana. Sorry. But we want to be stuck. It was probably by accident, like some of the things. But we want to be stuck like Velcro. So that's it. We spelled the word fellowship. You got it all down? Read it, write it, understand it. Commit time daily, regularly, to spend time with God. Sit in the chair for 10 minutes. I know some of you don't have 10 minutes. I get it. Maybe over lunch. I get to work early so I can get my day going right. That's why I go to work early, before anybody gets there. That's time that you gather yourself. You spend time with God. Read some scriptures. That's, you got to make time in your day for that. That's what he wants you to do. And that'll help you be a committed follower. It'll help you do that. So as we go through this Christmas season, don't forget to be a giver. Be stuck like Velcro. Do something outside yourself. Help somebody along the way. Do those things. Show them the love that Christ showed you. Let's stand. Lord, we just thank you today. We just ask you to knit our hearts together and for us to become one. And Lord, we just know we're more powerful together than we are apart. Lord, we just thank you that you continue to bless us throughout each and every day of our lives. You continue to walk with us. And even though we don't feel something sometimes, we know the word. We know your words, and we want to follow your word. Lord, we honor you each day, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a good day. Stay warm.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.